Hey, welcome to another bonus episode of the Infamous Podcast. I'm Brian.
Johnny.
And we are here in the house of our special guest today. We are on the road. Introduce yourselves.
My name is Aaron Dietrich, and I am putting on the Ohio Toy and Comic Show, and I'm here with my lovely wife.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And, yeah. Let's do this,
So it begins.
All right, so we're up here in lovely, where are we?
Springfield.
We're in the middle of nowhere, Ohio.
Springfield, Ohio. Springfield, Illinois.
No.
Cobra.
Where's Homer Simpson? That's what I want.
They don't have a state.
No.
Isn't Springfield, Illinois the Cobra facility?
Why you live here? Because you guys love the joke so much?
When I first met them, I thought that. Yeah, it would make sense. No, I was born and raised here. My entire life, and I moved to Florida for about 10 years, but I had to come back because of that reason specific. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it works out that way. But yeah,
there's a bunch of bodies floating around in the ocean that got ate partially by sharks in there and moved back to Springfield.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Well, thank you for having us.
Definitely. No, thank you for coming.
Thanks for being on the show for sure. So we are here specifically to talk about the Ohio Toy and Comic Show, which is on July 24th.
July 24th, yep,
on a Sunday. And it's in Fairborn, Ohio?
Yes, at the Holiday Inn, right across the street from Wright State University. That's the easiest way to tell people where it's at. The address is 2800 Presidential Drive. Yeah, it's hard to tell people Fairborn because no one knows where that is.
No.
Which is why we mentioned the Wright State, but it's essentially across the street from Dayton, Ohio.
Yep.
Like, it's literally Dayton, Ohio if you take 10 steps, apparently. So.
I always say Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Yeah.
That's all you just say. It's up by Wright-Pat.
Yeah. I always say it's up by Wright State, wrong university.
Yeah.
Did you go to Wright State?
No.
I did for 2 years. Yeah. And then I moved to Florida.
He's the exception to my rule.
Yep. And you're jealous of him.
Yeah. Anyway, so...
Who went to Wright State and gets to work at home?
I don't know. Whatever. Well, maybe these people will start paying us for our podcast.
No, well, there you go.
It's a subscription-based podcast now.
Come on, guys. Throw some money at them.
No, kidding. All right, so the... our buddy Buzz is going to be there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the toy show... It's just on Saturday, right?
Sunday. Yeah, no problem.
I don't know what day it is ever. I'm always like, hey, is today Thursday?
You can show up Saturday. The Holiday Inn's got a pool. You can go swim in and then just hang out until Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I might do that.
Nap in the hallway.
Yeah.
So
couches.
Yeah, and you know, if you guys are longtime listeners to the show, which why aren't you? High Villainy will be there, our buddy Buzz.
We love him.
Mike's Vintage, our buddy Mike, who we went to his shop
right before it opened. Yeah, which is a fantastic shop.
I think we might head there after we're done with the show
today. Yeah.
If he's
tell
around.
Him I said hi.
We will. But yeah, we all love toys. We're sitting here in your home office surrounded by... amazing G.I. Joe statues, Devastator, the guy from Major League over there.
Oh, God.
So,
I hate that thing.
Serrano and his curveball. But yeah, so I guess how did you get into this? Well, first off, how did you get into the toy sales?
Okay.
And then let's talk about the con and the show and how you got into that.
Definitely.
What goes into planning?
I essentially never grew up, like all of us. I mean,
growing up.
I know, the Peter Pan syndrome. It helped a lot. Growing up, my dad was a rare coin dealer, so he was always going to conventions selling rare coins or buying, trading, doing all that. And essentially, coins are very boring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna lie, they are very boring. I mean, my dad loves them, God bless them, but you can only look at it, unless they're like a Power of the Force coin with EV99 on it. I don't want anything to do with it.
This is a 1862 Buffalo nickel with two eyes.
Yeah. But luckily, I was always an action figure toy collector. I always played with them, opened them, tore them apart, blew them up, loved them. Star Wars was always my passion. I grew up playing with my brother's Star Wars figures. I had some of my own. Chewbacca was my favorite.
Nice.
And as I grew up, I got into comic books in the late 80s, early 90s, when I was about, 10 years old, 10 to 12, whatever. And so when I would go to coin shows with my dad, when he would set up, I would bring a short box of comics and a box of like Ninja Turtles, no accessory, you know, just stuff that I didn't want that I would sell for a few bucks a piece, and I'd make 30 bucks and it'd be the best weekend of my life. And that's essentially how I started being 10, 11 years old.
And then your dad took a third of that for
table cost. Exactly. It's like, someone's got to pay for all that pizza you ate at the show. And, you know, it just went from there, where then we would go to bigger shows. My dad, you know, he would sign me up for toy shows. And this is before I could even drive. So he would have to drive me. We'd load up the car with a couple boxes of, you know, vintage Star Wars, G.I. Joe, stuff like that. Just basically it started with my extras. I'd buy collections, piece out what I want, put in my collection and sell. You know, like all of us do. We get an extra stuff. It's like, well, we'll trade, we'll
sell.
Hit
the yard sales.
Exactly.
The flea market.
We came up here with two bags of that stuff.
Exactly. So, it spurred from that. And it wasn't until high school when I was driving on my own. And that was, you know, 1995 when Power of the Force 2 had just come out. And that was huge. Yeah. You know, I was buying up everything I could. The X-Men toys were still doing well. Spawn was huge. I mean, that was male bulges I couldn't keep in stock. And, you know, just started doing shows on my own and stuff. And it was a way that I didn't have to have a real job. I would just sell toys every few months at a toy show. You know, living with the folks, it wasn't like I had a lot of expenses. And then stopped doing it a couple years when I was in college, just because I'm like, oh, I'm too old for toys, too old for comics. There's girls in my life, blah, blah, blah. There's other things to do. Oh, I know. And, then it wasn't really until I was in college for a while and realized I needed to make some extra income.
Right.
And I, you know, I was like, well, I know how to do this. Let me throw some extra stuff on eBay. This is really when I started doing eBay hard and heavy. And it essentially paid for my way through college.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
I did eBay, I don't want to say full time, but I mean, when I was in college in Florida, it was, you know, I would do school, do my schoolwork, go home and work eBay 4 hours, literally 4 hours a day. You know, taking photos, posting, collecting the money, shipping it out, all this stuff, while putting myself through school. And it was just one of those things. And when I graduated, I had been doing this for so many years that it was just when the recession hit and, you know, jobs were hard to find.
Oh, yeah.
And I, you know, I've got a business degree, minor in communications, and couldn't get a job anywhere.
Right.
I couldn't even get a job at a local bank. I tried, you know, just to be a teller. But in the time I was searching for a job and I wasn't going to school, when it was done, I basically was doing eBay full time. And I realized I made more money doing that than a real job.
Oh, wow.
You know, it was one of those things where I'm like, I'm doing better this way than if I worked a 9-to-5. And
right.
I was setting my own hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the big thing. And then, you know, I would do toy shows down there as often as I could. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until we moved up here that we turned it into a... like a real, real business, and started doing toy shows pretty much every week.
Okay.
We're on the road. I mean, anywhere from Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia, Pittsburgh, Illinois, just everywhere. You know, if it's a 6-hour drive, we'll go.
I was
going
to say, you go by a 6-hour rule.
That's pretty much a 6-hour rule. Our only exception is for JoeCon, when we'll drive. Pretty much, we'll go to that wherever it is in the country, because we love G.I. Joe's so much.
And so for people who don't know, just JoeCon.
JoeCon is the G.I. Joe International Convention that is put on once a year by Fun Publications, and they've got the rights, you know, that they lease it out from Hasbro or whatever, how that works. And it's a huge G.I. Joe convention where, you know, once a year, every G.I. Joe nerd gets together and hangs out in a hotel, and it's the most fun I've ever had. So if you get a chance, go.
They throw action figures from up high above and watch them.
They have
down.
They have parachutes. They have a parachute drop where it's an exclusive figure, and they drop, I don't know how many, let's say 500. I'm sure number, it's not right. But
you can go on YouTube and find that video. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it's... they just go to the top of the hotel and throw them off and let kids catch them.
Oh, wow.
And then these figures go for over $100 a piece, it seems like, you know, on the secondary market.
So the collectors like you are knocking little kids out of getting two or three.
They actually have rules now where they let the kids go first.
Yeah.
But last year, he had kids coming up to him trying to wheel and deal at the show.
Yeah.
Kids are grabbing three or four of them.
And they'll hit the floor and go to the dealers because they know we'll buy them up to resell.
Yeah.
And, you know, little kids are coming up. It's like, oh, you know, I'll sell you this for $30.
Done.
And I'll do that. You know, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm more than happy to do that, just because I know on the secondary market it'll usually be twice as much.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes more if it's an even crazier figure.
Yeah, these kids don't have eBay. They just want... cash right
they,
now.
They want the money now so they could go buy a stuffed animal like the next booth over or a Funko Pop.
They're buying Joe.
These kids know. At these conventions, they know their stuff. I mean, these kids are...
It's pretty amazing.
They're bred.
Kids.
You know,
they're raised right.
Their fathers are into it. You know, the wives are reluctantly put into this. And then they raise their kids. It's like, you will love Snake Eyes, you know, or Storm Shadow, but no one else.
That's kind of how it is at my
house. So let me ask, where did the name Roma Collectibles come from?
Okay, Roma Collectibles is it's basically an anagram. Is that when you've got the letters? Anyways, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
We're going to say it is. It's an anagram of my family's name, which is Ryan, Orva, which is my father, Marcy, and myself, Aaron.
Nice, okay.
So my brother Ryan, my dad, my mom, and me. So, but it was basically my dad's company for Roma Coin,
okay.
Which at the time I piggybacked off him. You know, I was like, oh, we'll make Roma Collectibles, and, you know, I'll just use his name.
DBA.
Yeah. And, so, and then it just kind of grew into that. Yeah. And it also helped living with a graphic designer that he was able to do my logo, you know, to make it look more professional than I really was back in the day. You know, now it's like, oh, yeah, you know, logo suits me. But back then it was, you know, fooling people. It's like, well, these guys know what they're doing. And
they have a logo. It's not just it looks like
G.I. Joe logo.
It looks exactly
like Joe font.
Which it was. One day we were at dinner and I drew it on the napkin. I was like, this is what I want. I want it to look like this font, and gave it to him. And within a day or two, he had an amazing font. And I think I paid him in like Simpsons season DVDs. Yeah, that whenever I needed work, I would buy a season and give it to him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, now he gets real money, but he's pretty good at his job.
Very cool. So what are some of the cooler conventions that you've been to, like, outside of JoeCon?
Outside of JoeCon, we love LexCon, the Lexington Comic and Toy Convention.
That's the one we went to, right?
I don't remember.
A couple years ago?
Probably.
When you got Shooter McGavin's autograph?
Yeah, he was,
Yes.
He would have been there a couple years ago. Yeah, that's the one in Lexington. We love that. We drove down.
Yeah, I've been there a couple times.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard for me to pinpoint which ones. You know, we do.
They need to expand that one. That one's
really crowded. Michelle Nichols was there too.
They get a lot of
like Power Rangers and stuff.
It's a big Power Rangers show, but actually the Lexington Toy and Comic Show is getting rid of more dealer tables to make the aisles bigger.
So
they're losing out on dealers, but it's because that room, they can't really expand anymore. They've got an upstairs room now, and the bottom, you know, they're getting rid of almost a whole row of dealers just to accommodate. But I know that convention center is having some major work done to it to make it bigger somehow.
It's a cool show.
Yeah, it's one of the fun ones. You know,
we had fun when we went down.
We do the Indie Toy and Comic Expo.
Okay.
We love that one. We've been that one a few years. Columbus Toy Show. These are all local shows that we do regularly. Columbus Toy Show we do, which we've actually got James Ford coming to the Ohio Toy and Comic Show. He does CTS, and then what are some other fun ones we do that we like?
Well, I don't get to go to as many shows because it's a work show. So it's him and Kenny, and then if I go, I just end up dressing in costume and running around and not being at the booth and getting in trouble for not being at the
Kenny
booth.
And Kenny is
my cousin. And he is my go-to guy who helps me with every convention.
Because we went to the date
Cousin
one.
Kenny?
Cousin Kenny. Yeah. So. Everyone knows him as Cousin Kenny.
And your booth is always recognizable because Sarah's always in some form of cosplay. I remember the first time I met you guys, you were as Hellboy.
Yes,
which was really cool.
And that's your, I know you've said that's your favorite.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
That was the only time I've ever done that costume, too. So.
Nice.
It could come back.
Yeah.
It could come back. I want to get an airbrush because that red makeup was just like.
It was all cakey,
It was cakey, and then I had the bodysuit. If I could, it could come back.
That'd be cool.
I've been thinking about it.
Yeah,
Because you do,
That's the thing is, like, with you there as, you know, a character, it attracts more people to the booth.
Right.
You're a booth babe, but not a booth babe because you're more of a cosplayer.
Right.
And usually
I'm pretty well covered up too.
But the Mystique at Gem City was.
Yeah, which you guys can check our Instagram to see the pictures of that.
That one was pretty awesome.
That was cool. The mid transformation was really
cool.
I like
that one.
So, I guess, I'm looking at this guest list here, and, you know, I mean, obviously, like, locally.
Third year for the Ohio
I think we said
Comic
it was
Show.
The second year.
I think
the other
I missed
day,
one somewhere.
Anyway,
maybe
probably.
But,
Is that when you yelled at the podcast?
No, I didn't yell that time.
So Sarah told us she's been yelling at us when she listens to our podcast. So,
like, I wanted to. Oh, the Game of Thrones. This is the first year
in July, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It was October.
The previous years were always October, and we'd go head to head with New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
I don't know why I choose these dates because. I mean, the main reason I choose it is because I guess no other convention's dumb enough to go up against one of the biggest conventions of this, right. Year. And this year, because September and October are filled with local conventions.
Right,
I mean, you've got the Cincinnati shows, Columbus shows. Like, everyone is doing a convention in the fall, it seems like, anymore. And we would do, we did October 2 years, and we could really tell last year that it was almost like con fatigue.
Yeah.
It was the same customers. Same people, but it was just the same.
You're like, I already bought what I was buying from you last
week. Right, that's kind of the issue. Yeah, it's like we saw all the same people, but it was like, oh, what'd you get new? Well, it was kind of tough to get new inventory in 5 days,
right.
So we looked at the schedule and we're like, well, when can we do it again? And I was like, well, this year, let's just, we went up against New York Comic Con. Let's have the same weekend to San Diego, because it's always been the big joke that we're going to go up against the big guys.
Nice.
And, we're a very little convention, 60 dealer tables, but
July local shows.
That's the thing. There's
like the only
I know Wizard
three?
World. Wizard World is the weekend after us. That's the big one. And then, the Harper Convention is the week before in Columbus,
right.
At I think a Marriott, I believe. Okay. So it's that's a comic centric, that's mostly just comic books at that.
Yeah, one. Yours is more toy focused.
Because with me being the toy dealer, toy collector, and toy lover, and most of, I mean, it it's always a joke with my convention where it's like I let my friends set up. It really is. If I don't know you, it's tough to get in this convention. Because when it started, it was. Hey, I know enough guys, I can make some phone calls,
right.
My friends will do it, it'll just be, we'll try it out. And it was successful the first year. We were like, oh my God, we pulled it off. And the problem was, because we're at a Holiday Inn and the room isn't that big, we've been able to expand this year, but not as much as I'd like, and everyone seems to make money, that they all want to come back, so it's tough to get new blood in.
Yeah.
So it really is tough, it's all the same toy dealers and the handful of comic shops who are all my very good friends,
right.
And or my local shops and stuff like that. And with us expanding to another room, we were able to get some new people who I've never had before. I wanted, basically new blood. But with the conventions, I hate to brag. It's one of those things where, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but we've got the best toy dealers in Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at this list, I think I've bought from a lot of these people at, as we've gone to shows and stuff. Yeah. So,
I mean, Jim and Dan, I've gone to their shows.
Yeah.
I haven't been to their store yet, but they're good guys.
Mm-hmm. They're up in Columbus?
No, they're in West Alexandria.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which is almost to the Indiana border.
Okay.
Like, you've got to go exit 14 on I-70.
Yeah,
because
Buzz and Mike and Bell Book and Comic, it's a cool store.
And then you have Superfly. I haven't been to that one. You have
Superfly
Comics,
yeah,
which I love. That.
Yeah, we love.
So,
you. I was to say after this, you should just head there. You
I think we're
going
to go
because it
the,
is like 20, 15
we're go
minutes
the bookery,
away. Okay,
and maybe we would do Superfly.
Yeah.
So. Huh? My wife is like, "When are you guys getting me back?" I said, "I don't know, midnight."
Yeah, we got stuff to do, honey.
You should go to Young's. See if you go to. If
well, you were just there, weren't
you?
Yeah, I was on vacation. I go to Springfield.
Yeah,
he and his girlfriend did the mini golf tour of Southwest Ohio.
Yeah.
Two antique malls and Young's and
Because that was like, I think we were out of town because it was one of those where I saw him like, what? Like, I would have gone and hung out with
you.
We
did like the mini golf tournament this
year
where we hit like I think every mini golf around this area.
Oh wow!
And I think I won. I won by one game.
Yeah.
And usually I don't win.
Apparently
so.
She dominates him. Like.
Oh.
Know, so.
Yeah, and this year, for some reason, I was on my game this year. So.
You'd been practicing in the
off-season. And we'll continue because we're going to Disney near the end of the year. So
yeah.
We're going to do Disney mini golf, and I will reign over that, too. I'll shoot fireworks off around 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Let her know, yeah.
Just have a couple Roman candles for when you win and just hold them in the air. But, I think that's really cool. And I guess, I totally lost my train of thought. So I see you have, it's not just dealers, you have artists and things like that. So, are these all artists that you know as well? Or?
It really is. The only one which I met this year was Adam Fields.
Okay.
He's actually a newcomer on the scene the past maybe year to 6 months, I guess. And he is phenomenal. Like, I'm not... I wish I knew more about the guy. But I know, other than meeting him at a couple shows, it's like, oh, looking forward to having you, you know, can't wait. But, you know, look him up on Facebook, Instagram. You know, he's been... The stuff he's put out is phenomenal. But, yeah, every artist that's there are... Again, it's one of those things where it's friends of mine, you know.
Yeah, your shows and, you know, just from knowing you from the years that I've known you, it's friends and family type thing, you know. You're good at that. I mean...
Yeah,
and, you know what Jim and Dan show? I met your dad for the first time.
Yep.
And
yeah, the one he's day hilarious. He helped me out one day. Yeah, he sat down a chair and just kind of talked to people.
I call him Deals.
Yeah, oh, he was. It, yeah,
he was wheeling and dealing.
Oh, you know, people would come to me and I, you know, with the items I sell, I pretty much know what I paid for, mm-hmm. and it's like I've got X amount I need to make out of it, and you know, perfect. I don't know what it was, but let's say there was an item for $20. And a guy wanted it for like 13. I was like, oh, I can't do 13. Let's do 15. That's 25% off. Because, you know, like most shows, everything's a little higher so you can go down and make deals. And the guy was like, oh, I can't do 15. I was like, okay. And it kind of ended. And I walked away from the table. And sure enough, the guy came back. And my dad tells us, we'll do 13.
Yes.
You know? And I'm just like, well, we made like a buck on that deal. You know? But it's just kind of funny that he was loving it.
Oh, yeah.
Because with his experience from coin shows, it's the same thing, but it's completely different. It's a whole other world for him. But it's the same. You know, it's just... dealing with people and talking to them all
day. Does he do anything at the show, at the Ohio show?
He'll be working the table out front for admissions.
He's
a
ticket sales guy.
He was...
Now I know who to cut a deal with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How much are tickets?
$2.
$2, and so 50 cents?
50 cents, yeah.
Kids under 12 are free. Cool.
Yeah, the Cincinnati Comic Expo, they're kids. It's kids under 7 are free.
Okay,
are you kidding me?
That's really weird.
Yeah.
I've had her lie the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
But, like, it's not, I can't get away with it this year.
Right.
She's so freaking tall. It's like, damn it.
So what's the fun parts of doing a show? Like, you go to a lot of shows, but, like, now you've done
a
show
what have you learned from these other shows that makes, you know, the Ohio Toy and Comic
I learned that I have more respect for the promoters of every other show that I've ever done. Because, like I said, I mean, my show is a little show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got a big name, the Ohio Toy and Comic Show. It's, you know, it's one of those things where I've had people a little upset when they saw it, and they're like, it's in a Holiday Inn. But, I mean, like I said, we've got 60 dealer tables.
Yeah.
It's a nice-sized show for local shows.
Oh,
but I guess people expect...
You do that room, like, you got to walk around at least 3 or 4 times to catch everything.
But I feel bad because some people expect it to be... You know, I've had people ask me if I'm going to have, like, Rob Liefeld or Jim Lee at the show, and I'm like, no.
No.
You know.
No, why would I have Rob Liefeld there?
Yeah.
If we have Jim Lee there, it's only to break his hands.
Yeah.
Wow, no.
Wow. But, no, so it's, you know, it's one of those things where was I going with this? Oh, that's right. What have I learned from shows? But like I said, I've got respect for the dealer or for other promoters because, I mean, other than myself, my wife helps me as much as she can, and my cousin Kenny, who's, like I said, my right-hand man, there's a lot of, like, crazy little background work that I've learned you have to do. Like, especially set, like, a dealer or the table placement for the room.
Yeah.
Oh, that, I stared at, you know, the room, an empty room on my computer, just kind of figuring out how am I going to lay out all these tables.
Yeah.
You know, the first year.
Yeah, that's not fun.
And luckily we figured it out, and it's been the same ever since. I'm not messing with it. But
if it works,
like
the format works.
Exactly.
Like, I'm looking at your map here, and it's a nice layout because it seems like okay. I go. I can take a big loop. I can
cross
the middle.
That's literally what you do.
You know, when you're picking like where the people go, is it kind of like when you got married and you're like deciding who sits where at the reception?
It's like
doesn't get along with anybody. And
oh wow!
I'm kidding. We love Buzz. So. I've known Buzz forever. Anyway,
it really is. I mean, you know, the first year we did it, there wasn't like animosity with certain dealers and stuff, but it was like, okay, well, this guy sells G.I. Joes, so do I want to put another G.I. Joe dealer near him, or do I want to put him across the room?
Yeah.
But would they do better if they were next to her or
Joe
across
corner,
right?
Something like that.
You know,
yeah.
And it is one of those things that with my show, I don't want to say specific, but I want dealers that I know what their product is, so I can have the G.I. Joe guy, I can have the Transformer guy, I can have the Star Wars guy, the Lego guy. The, you know, and it is one of those things where I'm like, if I know what you have and I don't have it in the show, you've got a better chance of getting in. Then I, and not that I'm playing favorites, but it is one of those things like, well, I've already got X amount of guys who have modern era Marvel Legends, DC. I don't want to have a room full of those guys.
Right. Because you know? Nobody's going to make money then.
Right. It's, we split it up. So it is, there's only a couple dealers per category of toys.
Well, and you've then the got comics, like, comic books, toys, and it is, comic books. It's like the way the room's set up.
Right.
You can walk around the room and go, oh, I'm going to spend like 20 minutes at this comic book booth going through all these boxes.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you're like looking over at another table and you're like, oh, I want that toy. I'll be back.
And then we kind of have like our little artist alley set up right when you walk in. You know, all the artists are against one wall there. Because we, I'd actually talked to artists in the past. It's like, do you guys want to be, you know, spaced throughout the room or together? And they've, the ones I've talked to have always said, put us together. We do better that way than being hidden behind, you know, dealers build 10-foot walls.
Yeah. Right.
And an artist is going to be sitting there at the table with a banner, well, and they'll get lost.
Thing
at
the Dayton one we went to is there were some artists that just walked by, and it's like, oh, wait, that was an artist. So, yeah,
because, I think that's cool. Sarah's booth, the one I went to, Sarah's booth and all the artists were right there right the door. So you were like, you could just walk down and look at everybody's art, and then, oh, I'll be back.
Yeah.
And because, you know, you're going in and out of the booths, they're out of the store, you know, and that, and it's like all the different booths and everything, and like you said, people build booths up real big.
I mean, I know with with my booth, I have 8-foot walls.
Yeah,
you know, and it's, and I sometimes, you know, most of the time at shows, I'm by other dealers. We all do the same. We, you know, you've got X amount of space that you build up shelves and walls, but I always feel bad when, I mean, I think it was the Cincinnati Comic Expo 2 or 3 years ago. I remember it was myself and a dealer two spots over, and there was a little guy between us, and it was like we're burying him.
Yeah.
Which he eventually moved.
Yeah.
You know, he talked to the promoter because it was just, I'm like, I don't know what to tell you because this is how I'm going to do it if I want my product out.
Right, yeah.
And I mean, and luckily it was funny because it worked out. They moved good friends of ours who put on the Lexington Comic and Toy Show. That they went next to us, and it was always a big joke. It's like, oh God, you guys again, you know? So,
great.
Yeah. But no, and it does help. It's also, like you said, with placement, if I know dealers are friends with each other or, you know, really close, I'll put them near each other.
Yeah.
Because it's always more fun to be by your friends at the show, and it helps the day go by.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like we were saying with the way you design your booth. Most of these guys, I know what their booth space at shows look like, how they're gonna, if they're gonna use cages, if they're gonna use shelves, if they're just gonna use tables and put empty, you know, tubs full of loose figures everywhere.
Right.
So I can kind of plan around that. You know, put certain guys, like, you know, perfect example is Buzz from the Hive of Villainy.
Right.
The way he builds his booth, we basically give him a full corner.
Mm-hmm.
And he just builds it out and it looks fantastic when he's done. But it is like, this is your space.
And he's got that big sign now, too, which in the corner, that,
So it is, you know, and the only rule is, you know, basically we've, you know, with the whole dealer contract stuff, it's got this, you know, basically like legitimate reasoning as to, this is your booth space, you can only occupy this amount, do not, blah, blah, blah. And at the end it says, look, we've all done this before, don't be a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, just be courteous to the guy next to you and make things work out.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you got to do at a show. I mean, a good show is just people relaxed and
and that's, we've never had an issue with anything at our show. And
I've seen shows where there's high-strung people and it's
there
like,
are,
you're not getting any money from me.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to deal with you.
Sorry.
Or what was it at the Queen City one this year? The one where I took the picture, I was like, blink and you'll miss it.
Yeah.
That we went to, there was the guy, he was doing art, but then his daughter did cosplay and he was like, pimping her pictures, and it was like just kind of like odd, you know.
Yeah,
it was like because she had those like kind of some of the over sexualized.
Oh no, that
pictures.
Was Gym City. Okay.
Was that Gym City?
That was Gym City.
Oh, that was Gym City. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, dude, that's your daughter.
I remember.
That's not cool, man.
I remember.
That's
that.
Not cool at all. I have
on
a daughter.
The back wall,
and that's
yeah.
Like, you know, because he had a really cool Nightwing print, and I didn't have any money, and so I was like, meh. But all right, so. Like, what are you know, some of the cool reasons for people to come to your show and spend their $2?
First of all, it's fun.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. Any type of convention you go to, if you love this genre of stuff, if you're a geek in any way, shape, or form, if you've watched Star Wars, you read comics, you know, this, it's just fun to go to these because you're going to be hanging out with like-minded people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. You've got, I just think you've got good dealers. I mean, I'm not as deep into the fandom as some of the, you know, as some of the really hardcore people, but I can always find something fun to look at.
Sure.
At his show, and it helps that all of the dealers are pretty cool people, and
yep.
they're fun to talk to, and they'll engage you if you have questions about things. So, because we've been to shows where it's a little unapproachable as far as you know, if you have questions, you're trying to learn about stuff. But no, I think your show is definitely quality over quantity.
Yeah,
as well. So you'll
and that's one thing that, like we said, because of our space restrictions, it has always been, well, let's make sure we get the best of the best in the area. We've got, you know, some of the best local comic shops, best dealers that I can find.
It's not a, I mean, it's a nice hotel.
Yeah,
that's always a plus. That is always a plus.
And like we said, that Holiday Inn was just remodeled.
Yeah,
to the point where I haven't seen it yet. I've, you know, we've been going every couple of months to do stuff.
Make sure it's still standing.
Yeah, exactly. And we've seen the work, but I actually just got a call from Caitlin, the woman we've been dealing with, and she was like, it's all done, it's beautiful, you're going to love it.
It looks really nice.
I'm excited to see it now, but you guys said you saw it at the Disney show
We went to the Dayton Disneyana show, and they've, like, the floors outside of the convention are not carpeted anymore, so it's not that old carpet, it's like tile.
Yeah.
Cool. And that, and they replaced all the carpet, like, all the carpet in the place is replaced. We walked in, and I'm like, is this the same hotel? Like,
am I in the right place?
I'm like, did they change hotels? But it looks like the same hotel.
Did I just end up at a Marriott? Where am I?
Like,
yeah.
And you literally like come around the corner and it's like, what? Something's different. I literally went like, something's different here.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking like, you did the show there too. And I'm like, this looks different than when we came last time. And it's like, you're really like going to have a different spot. And it's brighter. The room's
that's
brighter.
Nice, yeah.
So yeah, that was the thing I noticed, like, you know, with your show and with the last time Dayton Disneyana was there, is it was kind of dim in that room.
Yeah.
And it's like they've replaced all the lighting
and everything
so,
up top, okay.
Yeah,
and repainted it and cleaned it. And I know it's all new carpeting in there, too, in the ballroom.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It looks like a brand new room.
Yeah.
So and that's always a plus.
Yeah.
A hotel,
no,
like,
it,
we've both done enough conventions.
Right.
There's
if
been
it's
hotels
a nice looking hotel.
That, like,
that,
oh, boy. Yeah.
The other thing that I mean, I know a lot of other shows do their own door prizes, but one thing I pride myself in is my door prizes. We always try to bring, like, basically autographs of rare
things.
Yeah,
you've got the list here that's pretty cool. Why don't you give us a highlight of maybe the top three door prizes that they can expect?
I mean, I know one of the top three, I mean, it's always, for our wrestling fans, is we've got an autographed Mankind figure.
Nice.
Yes.
Which... my wife actually got the photo and had a ball hanging out with him. Like, literally, he invited her to sit down at his table and was
nice.
And basically said, to heck with everyone in line, I'm going to talk to you for 5 minutes.
He let me cut back. He said, well, go get your phone and we'll take some pictures together.
Nice.
So he let me
cut back in line.
And Mick Foley's pretty awesome.
Oh,
here,
man.
So.
Yeah, Mick was, you know, he's always been great. I've met him a couple times.
It's the years of those massive bumps from
the
30-foot structures. You can't be anything but happy.
So, you know, we've got an autographed Mattel figure of him, an autographed Brett Spiner from Star Trek The Next Generation, Data. We've got a Funko Pop autographed by him.
Awesome.
James Marster autographed reaction figure.
It's Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
What else do we have here?
I know you showed us the Boondock Saints number one autograph
by
Troy Duffy, which led to a conversation about
that.
If you're a Boondock Saints fan, like, that's definitely something you want.
It was a weird thing for me that we bought in a collection, and it was, you know, when I got it, I'm like, and it had, you know, certificate of authenticity, everything, so it is legit. It's autographed by, I think, three people, actually. It was Troy Duffy, the writer and director of the Boondock Saints movies, and then he wrote the comic, and like executive producers, BJ's, I would have to look it up. It's all listed on our Facebook page, so if you go there, you'll see all of our door prizes. But yeah, we have a handful of autographed comics, but it's all, I mean, basically it's all autographed items, stuff that you can't really get anywhere unless you meet these people. So
You go and you get it and you bring it back to your show
and it helps
give it away.
Right. And it helps that we
just
so
come
many...
and watch the show, because the show when they're giving away stuff is like the best part of it.
The first year we didn't have a mic system, so I just yelled.
Yeah.
The second year we had a mic system set up that was horrible. It was basically like a little karaoke speaker, and I thought that it would work, but it just made everything muffled, and I ended up yelling again. And this year we've got a speaker system set up in place, so we'll see how well that works out. But I'm sure in the end I'm just going to be yelling in this room.
It's fun to watch the people gather around like a cult.
Yeah. And the worst part is, as the show goes on, like the later the later door prizes, the ticket numbers, most people are gone. Yeah. So we've gone through like 15 numbers.
I was at the end of the show the one time, and like you just went through like 10 numbers, and it's like finally you were just like, somebody else pick a number out, please.
I got tired of doing it and had to someone else grab it. Yeah. So, I mean, every year we've always done the door prizes. We've always, I try to get interesting, fun things for people. And everyone's been happy.
Collectors of different stuff.
Right.
You have a good,
A
little bit of everything.
There's comic books, there's pops, there's toys.
The worst was, I can't even remember what it was, but we had an item the first year. And, it was a print of autographed by Mick Foley again, of all people, because we see Mick so much and it's always, people love him. That it was an 11x17 print of him that Rodney Fike, an artist who we've had in the past, did. And everyone wanted to win it, and the person who did win it was like a little girl, 7 years old, who just did not care. I mean, she didn't know who Mankind was, didn't know didn't watch wrestling, didn't know Mick Foley, and everyone was like, oh, and she's just, when I gave it to her, her little face of defeat, because she didn't want that, she probably wanted the My Little Pony thing, and I'm like, I'm so sorry, go sell it to that guy over there for $30,
That's funny. All right, so where can people find more information about the Ohio Toy and Comic Show, and where can people find information about Roma Collectibles?
Ohio Toy and Comic Show, we're all over Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The big three social media networks, whatever. We post stuff multiple times throughout the day on all those sites. And if you contact it, you'll be talking to me directly. I'm usually, I'm the one who runs pretty much everything. I've got, like I said, my wife helps me every once in a while, but it is just, it's the convention run by pretty much a one-man show, so Sweet. It's fun. So if you do send me a message and I don't get back to you immediately, that's why. It's not like we've got a team of people working on that sort of thing. But, so with that, there's that. And then the same with Roma Collectibles. We are on, Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we've got our store website, which is romacollectibles.com, which is filled with all sorts of fun toys. And again, you talk to anyone, you send us a message, I'm the guy that you'll be talking to. So,
all right.
Yeah. And you're a good guy. So.
Oh, well, thank you, John.
Yeah, Aaron's great. That. So,
I've dealt with enough toy dealers over the years. Yeah,
Sarah, the jury's still out, but Sarah is great.
Yeah.
The worst. Sarah's the worst. It's really one of those things where you go to, for me, I go to enough shows that we didn't know each other.
No.
We had never met.
Never met.
And
until
I started
a few
buying stuff from you, and it's just like, you just start seeing each other and get to talk, and it's like, some toy dealers, never have talked to them personally.
Yeah.
And that. So,
and now you're in my house.
And now I'm in your house. Yeah. So, it's one of those things where it's definitely somebody, that's legit to deal with. And,
Well, thank you.
Like I said, check out the show, because it's definitely a fun little show to go to. And next year you'll expand to 2 days in a bigger hotel. And
oh, boy.
All because of this podcast.
Well, the one person who listens to the podcast. Is the anyway. All right. Well, you guys can find us.
Thanks
online.
To all the other listeners out there.
To the three of you out there that aren't in the room. You guys can find us online. We're at the Infos Podcast. InfosPodcast.com, Infos Podcast, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Johnny, you're at
Johnny Potterf on Instagram and Twitter.
Do you guys have personal ones or just the
only work for me?
Okay.
Yeah, for
I'm at Mary Mercenary on Facebook and Instagram. I don't understand Twitter. I don't do Twitter.
Twitter either. So. I'm on there, but I'm not on there.
And I'm at Brian Tudor on everything. And so you guys know the drill. 5-star reviews are awesome. We got a couple new ones over the last couple weeks, which has been great.
Links will be on the webpage for
the links
show
to all this stuff will
we'll link
on
everything
in the show notes. So have a great day, night, weekend, whenever you're listening to this.
We appreciate you.
Thank you guys for having us.
Hey, it was
your
fun.
House.
Yeah, loved it.
All right. Later.